details on the tax man.
Well, you have a week left to file your income taxes, and in this special edition of On Your Money, we will hear from a guest with some advice for last-minute tax filers. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 10th. Financial planner Kevin McKinley has the week off of the radio show. He's busy during this tax time as well. But we have another guest with us who will offer some tips for last-minute filers to help you get the most of this year's returns, as well as tips on what you might do in 2012 to come out ahead next year. And we welcome your questions, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. Let me welcome back our guest, Mark Babel, a principal at SVA Certified Public Accountants in Madison. Among other areas, he specializes in corporate partnership and individual tax planning issues. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and thank you for having me back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Mark was with us for a previous edition of On Your Money, and we thought with Kevin's absence this week that this would be a timely thing to do. Do you have a lot of people who are filing taxes with just a week to go?
Yes, we do. We have a large volume of returns that need to get through our office. And at this point, we're crunching on those that are already in the office, and we're helping those that will bring their taxes after the 17th and let them know what time frame we can get that work done.
So it is the 17th is the deadline this year because of a holiday, a federal holiday.
Yes, there's a federal holiday in Washington, D.C., Emancipation Day, and so it pushes it an additional day. If the 15th falls on a Saturday or Sunday, it's pushed to Monday. Here it's actually pushed to Tuesday.
All right. So I was surprised when you mentioned that maybe with that 30-40% of people, taxpayers, wait until about this time to get things done.
Well, they certainly wait for this last 30 days to get those tax returns in. People that are expecting refunds tend to get their returns done earlier in the tax season. So it's important to get those people taken care of right away. But there's a large volume of taxes that get filed in this last 30 days.
So what would you say is the most common mistake that you see last-minute tax filers make?
The common mistakes are, one, do I have to file at all? Two, can I claim my children as dependents on my tax return? Do my children need to file their tax returns? And then making sure they claim all the deductions that are available to them.
All right, so how do I know if I have to file at all?
There are gross income stipulations, and typically the single tax filer, if they have gross income above $10,000, that's the limit by which they start filing.
Mm-hmm. And what is the answer to whether I can claim my children or not?
Generally, most people have children that are below high school graduation. Those are children that you can claim on their tax returns. The questions generally come with children that are either in secondary school or are beyond secondary school and are unemployed. And generally, when you have a full-time student and they're under the age of 24, you can still claim them on your tax return.
Okay, cool. And I'm sorry, I missed the other common mistake or question.
Sometimes there are other individuals that you're taking care of that qualify as dependents. They could be elderly mother and father, as well as children that have graduated from college but are unemployed at the current time. So you need to inform your tax preparer of the situation and facts so they can assess whether that dependency can be claimed also.
So if I'm happy to report that I did finish my taxes and I don't have to worry about it now. But if I'm here, I only have a week to go and there's so much to do and slips to find and receipts to find. Would I be better off just filing for an extension?
Well, there's a couple suggestions I have in that situation. One is to try to organize all that information. Two, if possible, to try to project what your tax liability is going to be. And three is a must. You need to file an extension, and if you're capable and know what that estimated tax is, to pay that tax in with your extension payment.
You can't just say, give me more time. You have to send a check with it.
No, you don't actually have to send a check. It's best if you do, because you can stop interest that accrues on that tax when you actually figure it out with your return. But you can file an extension without sending along a check for the tax if you don't know what that tax is.
Boy, if you have to figure out your projected taxes, why not just do it?
right. Yeah. And that's generally one, they either are going to take it to a preparer, a qualified professional, and it's so late in the game they just can't get to that return. So they may estimate those taxes for you. Or it's somebody that doesn't have all their information together, or they're still waiting for information from different sources.
Well, you know, we have lots of callers who are lining up, and I think we'll go to calls a little sooner than we usually do. We have one open line, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And let's take Dave in Wausau first. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Joy.
Yes.
Yeah, hello, Kevin. Yes.
No, it's not Kevin. I'm sorry. It's Mark.
Oh, Mark, sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, interesting enough, something just landed on my lap in my Saturday's mail. I got a really thick envelope from the IRS stating, it's got nothing to do with my 2011 taxes. I already filed them. I owe a little amount, and I paid that. It said, dating back to my 2010 taxes, we noticed that you received $13,000 from, it was actually my father's business, and therefore you owe us $2,115. Well, I thought, I know what this all stems from, and it's something very sneaky that my dad's CPA did. Way back in 2003, I received a brand new John Deere tractor from my dad as a gift.
Okay.
In the end, I sold it in 2009. It yielded me $12,400. So I thought, well, that's a lot of guts for the CPA to send me a copy of a 1099 they sent the IRS in 2010, because it's irrelevant. It's on something I already claimed, and it's not their business in the first place. Anyway, so then my lawyer sent that CPA a letter saying this is incorrect. Dave already claimed this on his taxes, and furthermore, it wasn't $13,000. It was $12,400, and it was in the tax year 2009. Well, anyway, this is what happened. The CPA ignored me, and now it's blowing up in my face. I took this envelope and the mailing to my attorney and said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, Dave, yeah, if they just didn't file that 1099 that we know you don't owe, or you didn't receive that money, but it's better, Dave, that you just pay the $2,115. And I said to Bob, my attorney, I said, well, I have a copy of the letter you sent to the CPA last well, it was in 2010, saying, this is in error, Dave already claimed this, this is all a big mistake. I want to send that to the government. And he said, no, don't do it. Just pay what they say they owe you. And I think it's wrong.
Yes, generally what I suggest in those situations is reviewing the notice that you received. And if it is wrong, they allow you to check a box that says, indicates that you're in dispute with it. You write them a letter saying, this is what the facts are as I understand it, and they will respond to you. And if they need additional documentation, they'll ask you to get it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave. It sounds like a really complicated situation. But, I mean, if his own attorney is saying, pay what the IRS says, maybe he ought to pay what the IRS says. I don't know.
Generally, if there's a situation where I don't believe I owe the tax, it's completely fine to file a letter with that response and say, this is why I think it's wrong. And you'll start a dialogue with them in correspondence.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dave, for the call. Sorry about the problems you're going through. Karen in Portage is next. Hello, Karen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. My question is, I know there is some IRS qualifiers for divorced parents who get to claim the children as dependents. Okay, my divorce decree says that I get to claim my children as dependents on my tax returns for filing purposes. And I have the children, I meet the IRS requirements as well, having the children more than 6 months of the year, et cetera.
Sure.
If the judge in Wisconsin were to change my order, even though those requirements haven't changed, I will still be the one that will have the children more than 6 months out of the year, whatever the other requirements are. Does the IRS tax code supersede the divorce decree, or does it? How does that work?
Generally, what happens with your marital settlement agreement, which is the agreement for your divorce, if the children are designated to a spouse, let's say every other year, even though the spouse has the children in their home for more than half the year, the other spouse can claim that dependent according to the agreement. You can still claim head of household, which is a different filing and a more favorable filing status than a single, but that is allowed.
Thank you, Karen, for the call. Is there anything I can do at this point, a week before I'm supposed to file, to save money on my tax forms?
That's a good question, Joy. At this point, there's not too many things that you can do. One thing you can do before the 17th or on the 17th is make an IRA contribution, which is maybe deductible on your tax return. The other is, as we discussed before, is getting together complete and accurate data. And the last would be seeking out a qualified tax professional that's going to help you find all the deductions and credits that are available to you.
Mm-hmm. The IRA contribution cannot be a Roth IRA, though, right?
It can. It can. Okay. It depends on the circumstances. It can be a deductible IRA. It can be a non-deductible IRA. It can be a Roth IRA, depending on your facts and circumstances. But it has to be deposited with a financial planner, generally, or at least into an IRA account by next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Mark Babel. He is helping us with some last-minute tax advice. He is a principal at SVA Certified Public Accountants in Madison. If you have a question for him about your federal or state income taxes, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. Mark Babel is a principal and member of the Income Tax Group at SVA Certified Public Accountants, SC, with offices in Madison, Milwaukee, the Fox Cities, and Rockford, Illinois. Mark does not intend to provide personalized tax advice through this broadcast. Filers should consult with their own tax advisors prior to making any tax-related decisions. This is On Your Money on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow at this time, I'm going to talk with a guest who has some advice on how you can not only cope, but lighten the burden that you may feel when someone you love has a chronic illness. It's living with someone who has a chronic illness. That's coming up tomorrow at this time. This is On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. Kevin McKinley has the day off the radio show today. And we have with us Mark Babel, who is a principal at SVA Certified Public Accountants. He's here with some last-minute tax advice for us. We have just a week left to file our income taxes, if you haven't done that already. If you have a question on some sort of a tax issue, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. Our next caller is John in Madison. Hi, John. John, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, this is a somewhat convoluted one. I'll try to make it really short. I have my income is all self-employment income. Last year, I did some work for the Government of Canada, which withheld a certain amount of income tax. And I'm just wondering, to get the foreign tax credit so that I'm not double taxed on that income, do I include that Canadian income in my lump sum self-employment income on my American tax forms, or do I report it some other way? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, John, that's a good question. The foreign income tax, taxable income, is a complicated area. As you said, they've withheld taxes, and that represents foreign tax on that income. I believe the answer to your question is the income is reported on your U.S. return, and through the form 1116, the credit is claimed for the taxes paid to a foreign government, so it basically offsets, for the most part, the income that's being taxed in the United States.
Okay, and I just very quickly, I'm doing this with TurboTax, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. At the top of the income part, it shows lump sum self-employment income. Do I include that Canadian income in that amount, or do I subtract that amount from it and it gets reported elsewhere?
I don't know, because I'm not looking specifically at that program with you, but I believe what you're asking is the number that should go there is the net profit for the income from Canada only,
okay.
Is my guess.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Good luck. Bill in Lomira. Hello. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I would imagine it's a simple question. I did my taxes. I owe money. The amount that I owe to the state is a reasonable amount. I can swing that. But I owe like $3,000 to the federal, and I don't have that much money available right now. Can I send in a payment on it, like a third of it? Will they contact me and make arrangements for payments for the rest, or how does that work?
That's correct, Bill. What I suggest to my clients when they owe the IRS as well as the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, I ask them to choose the one that is the lesser amount, pay them so they only have one taxing jurisdiction contacting them, and then you will send them a partial payment. They will send you back a letter saying, hey, we got your return. We like that. We got your payment, but you still owe us X. Please send us a check for X. Or they'll have on their contact information for setting up an installment plan.
Okay, wonderful. I've got these memories from way back when the IRS used to have big fangs, you know, so.
That's okay. The IRS likes people that at least try to pay their debts.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. Good luck. Does the IRS have big fangs?
Excuse me?
Does the IRS have big fangs?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, it's a looming shadow that Uncle Sam has.
But so when you know you owe and you know you don't have the funds at hand to pay it in full, you just pay that partial payment, and they will contact you. It's not like you have to contact them ahead of time.
That's correct, Joy. They'll keep track of what you owe them.
Is Bill going to get nailed for interest or a penalty for not paying right off the bat?
They do. He will get a penalty for what's called underpayment penalty because he hasn't paid what he owes. It approximates 1% per month. It's not a real big number.
Okay. Yeah, is there, I know this is, we don't want to go into Bill's specific situation, but are there things we can be doing in 2012, is there something Bill could be doing, for example, in 2012, to avoid a $3,000 income tax bill to the federal government next year?
Yes, he can. The only problem is he's trying to catch up with the prior year, so setting more money aside for 2012, it's more important really to get that past debt paid. And to create as much disposable income for that debt rather than planning ahead for your 2012. But you're correct. What he can do if he wants to make it less painful is to increase his withholding on each paycheck by, let's say, if he's getting paid every 2 weeks, he would increase that another $600. Excuse me, $60.
I see. So changing that to... That will increase the amount of money that is
It'll be more money that he is paying into the system. So if his situation doesn't change, mm-hmm. and he pays in $60 more per paycheck and he has 50 of those, then he'll pay in an additional $3,000 over the course of 2012.
I get it. So that's something, and again, that was just hypothetical. And all of us can do that to avoid that bill at the end of at tax time. Thank you, Bill. Good luck. Rich in Sauk City. Hello, Rich.
Hi. I have a situation. I'm a farm laborer, and every year for the past 5 years, I've owed both the state and federal. Well, this year I paid both of them when I filed my taxes. But then I got a letter back from the state saying that I owe underpayment interest for not paying an estimated tax. Now my employer takes out the federal, but they take out nothing for state. So every year I owe the state. I'm just wondering, is it required of the employer to take out for state taxes?
That's a good question. The withholding is based on the form that you file with your employer telling them how much you want withheld from your paychecks, and they are supposed to do that, and they are required to withhold based on those withholding forms that you file with them. My guess is that this is a small employer, and maybe they do not pay any taxes over to Wisconsin right now, and maybe it's an inconvenience, but you can go to them and say, you know, according to my withholding statement that I filed with you, I want to have withheld $100 out of each paycheck, and they're required to do so.
So the state could still penalize me because they didn't take out.
Right. They're looking at it from their perspective in that you didn't pay anything in for whatever reason, and you're required to pay in up to 90% of what the tax liability you have for 2011 over the course of the 12 months. And if you haven't done that, there is a penalty associated with it.
Thanks, Rich, for the call. Scott in Madison is with us now. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hi, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. A few minutes ago, you mentioned that one of the things you can do is to find a qualified tax preparer, and I was wondering if you could talk about the different types of tax preparers and how you would go about selecting one.
That's a good question, Scott. In evaluating any professional, I look, number one, to referrals. People that I know, that I respect, I ask them their opinion. Do they have a CPA or a tax preparer? Would they recommend a CPA or a tax preparer? And generally go based on that. You can also go to their individual websites, see how long they've been doing it. And I think those are the best ways of approaching that.
All right, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. We are talking with a qualified tax preparer.
Right.
Mark Babel is a principal at SVA Certified Public Accountants in Madison, and we are getting some last minute tax tips. Do you have some questions for him? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. And our next caller is Jim in Cedarburg. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. My wife did some work in Illinois. Do we need to file an Illinois form, a 1040, to get back the state tax withheld down in Illinois?
So you have a W-2 for your wife that indicates Illinois wages?
Correct.
Yes. What you're going to do if you want to get that money back, actually, in Illinois, you need to file the tax return there, pay the taxes there, and then claim that income in Wisconsin also, but you'll get a credit for the taxes that you paid in Illinois on those same taxes.
Sure. Okay, thank you much.
All right, thanks very much for the call. John in Madison emails, I received an inheritance last year of less than $25,000. Do I have to report it? How much and on what forms? I'm married and we file jointly.
Generally, with inheritance, the estate tax for the person that died is taken care of by the estate, and the proceeds that come out of it in terms of inheritance are not taxable. If he does have any income that is subject to tax, he'll get what's called a Schedule K-1. It's a beneficiary form for the estate that will show any income that he has to report that actually gets flowed through that estate.
1-800-642-1234 or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. I was just thinking, Mark, we had the caller who said, how do I find a qualified tax preparer? Is it too late? I mean, are you guys just, you know, up to your necks in tax work right now in order, or do people take on new clients at this time?
We do take on new clients, and we ask them their situation to determine if there's a real time-sensitive issue, meaning there is a delinquent tax from 3 or 4 years ago that really has to be done now, prior to the 17th. And if that's the case, we'll find a way to get that done. Otherwise, it's setting up an appointment, trying to determine if they have a large estimated tax bill out there that they may need to make a payment with their extension, make sure that extension gets paid so we don't have any late filing penalties when we actually get to that return, setting up the appointment to meet with them and helping them organize that information so when we do meet, we can do it efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Michael in Balsam Lake. Hello, Michael.
Hello. My question is, I can't find my my last year's tax return, and I my computer crashed and I lost it on there. And I'm at a point in my taxes where they're asking me for or what my itemization was from last year, and looking at it as far as if I have to pay tax on my on the what I received back from the state last year. And I'm wondering if I don't have that number, if it's okay to send them in, or is that going to get flagged for an audit?
Well, what will happen is if there is a state tax refund that needs to be claimed on the federal tax return, and you don't know what that amount is, and you file the tax return, the IRS is very good at matching up those items, like W-2s, 1099 interest and dividend documents that show what you're supposed to claim. If you don't, they'll send you a letter and say, hey, we found this. It wasn't on your tax return. Based on our calculations, you owe us $340 more dollars because of it. And if you agree with us, send along a check and sign the letter that they sent to you. So you can file it without it. They'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't there also, I mean, I get something in the mail from the state that says this is what your, you know, what your return was.
That's right.
And if, isn't there somebody that I can call up and say, what's that number?
Well, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue on their website, you can go in there on their website and access their files, and you will be able to find out your refund from the prior year.
Mm-hmm.
You
can I did find out my refund, but there was another question where, you know, it was asking what I had itemized from last year, and that it was dealing with that, and I just, like, that number I just don't have.
So. Yeah, that one's off your federal return, and in order to get that, you'd either have to write to the IRS. I've filed power of attorneys electronically and accessed it through their computer system, but it's nothing that can be done in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes.
Thank you very much, Michael, for the call. I do have a tax preparer do my taxes, and then I get a hard copy that I have in a box somewhere for the past 7 years or so, but it's there.
Yep.
But I mean, if you do your own online, I suppose there's a lesson to be learned there, that maybe you do want a hard copy in case your computer crashes.
Yes, that's always a good idea to have a hard copy.
Yeah. Next we go to Beth in Muskego. Hello, Beth.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
I'm working on my daughter's taxes for her, and on one of her W-2s, it showed in box 7, it said Social Security tips.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to do anything with that?
Are you preparing this by hand or using a software?
By hand. I'm probably going to file it online, but right now I'm just preparing it by hand.
Okay. The Social Security tips has to be considered, and I'm not exactly sure if it's added to your Box 1 wages or not. That's something, if you send me an email at www.sva.com, I'll try to answer that one for you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. So do you think many people do these by hand and mail them in the old-fashioned way?
I don't think a lot of people do them by hand anymore. They'll purchase the TurboTax or some similar software because it's difficult to know all the different deductions and credits that are available. And programs like that try to walk you through it and try to guess as to what you'll be eligible for and have you fill out several boxes to at least trigger the thought process of, am I eligible for that?
You know, and as for, we don't see people lining up at the post office before midnight mailing their returns so much anymore, or do we?
We do. A couple of the mail center, post office centers in town, a couple of them, the larger ones, will stay open late on Tuesday, so the return can be post office postmarked on the 17th, and if it is, it's considered timely filed.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about taxes and welcoming your questions about filing your income tax returns. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. Kevin McKinley has the day off. We are talking with Mark Babel, who is a principal at SVA Certified Public Accountants in Madison. And our next caller is Aaron in Madison. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good. What's your tax question?
Last year, or actually 2 years ago, we converted a IRA to a Roth IRA. And because of that, we had substantial tax payments that are due both this year and next year. We had the option of splitting it into 2 years. I was wondering, our tax preparer suggested that we might want to do quarterly payments this year for next year's tax. I was just wondering if that was necessary or if we could wait until the end.
Well, you can know the answer is you can't wait till the end because you'll probably end up with an underpayment penalty, as an earlier caller alluded to. What you need to do is go one of two ways. You either pay your estimated taxes to cover the additional taxes from that converted IRA, or what you can do is increase your withholding on your W-2s, either for you and or if your wife.
Okay, and we should hit all four of the quarterly payments? We should.
Yes, in order for them to be considered on time, they need to be paid equally and with each of the four quarterly payments.
Good luck to you, Aaron. Thanks for the call. Raphael in Burnsville, Minnesota is with us. Hello. Oh, sorry, we lost your call, Raphael. He wanted to ask about whether he has to pay taxes on child support arrears.
That's a good question. Here in Wisconsin, I'm not sure about Minnesota, but you do not have to pay taxes on child support that you receive, and it's not deductible for the payor.
Well, we'll take more questions for Mark Babel at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is a special last-minute tax advice edition of On Your Money. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you. After 10, Kathleen will talk with a boy who became the king of Egypt before his 10th birthday. That's coming up after 10. We are getting tax advice from Mark Babel, who is with SVA Certified Public Accountants in Madison, talking about last-minute tax advice, things that you can do to save money at this point, things to do if you're not ready to file your taxes, or what you should do if you can't pay your taxes at this point. And I'm wondering, too, Mark, if there's something we should be doing now in preparation for next year. I mean, things to make it better for us next year in terms of maybe just organizing everything.
I get asked that a lot, Joy, and sometimes the simplest systems are the best. Instead of running around trying to figure out where you laid every piece of paper that said tax information important, it's good to just have a file or a folder, or some people like shoeboxes, where you throw those documents and questions that you may have for next year in there so that you can address them when the early part of 2013 comes around.
Yeah. Are there Are there going to be, I don't know, any special deductions or programs going on in the tax year of 2012 that we should be aware of?
2012 will look very similar to 2011, and that's because of the tax bill a couple years ago being enacted by the current president. And generally, when you have a year of presidential election, you don't like to see turmoil and change in income tax law. It is unpopular to have increases in income taxes in that year, so that's why 2012 will look very similar to 2011. Depending on the outcome of that election, will determine how 2013 is going to look.
Mm-hmm. And finally, are there especially people who are doing their income taxes right now with only a week to go? Again, the deadline this year is Tuesday, April the 17th. We get some extra days because April 15th falls on a Sunday, and Monday the 16th is Emancipation Day, a federal holiday in Washington, D.C. But those of us who are doing their taxes in this last week, are there certain deductions that people might miss, the commonly missed deductions?
There are some. It's important to review your medical deductions to make sure that you're taking deductions for all medical expenses, assuming they're qualified, and most are, on your tax return, including your portion of health care insurance premiums that you pay. The real estate taxes for pretty much any property you own is deductible. Non-cash charitable contributions are deductible, so those clothes and household items that you take to St. Vincent's or Goodwill is deductible at an estimated fair market value. Any expenses related to your status as an employee that are unreimbursed but you need to incur them to accomplish your job, those are deductible as well. There are a lot of deductions associated with businesses that people oftentimes miss. Home office expenses, where you run your business out of your home and you use a special area of your home exclusively for the home. There's an allocation of deductions for mortgage interest, real estate taxes, insurance, utilities, things of that nature. There are deductions related to specific types of businesses. So that's generally when you're seeking out the qualified tax professional to help you with
mm-hmm.
those.
Does a radio talk show host who does a lot of her prep work at home get a deduction for doing work at home?
That's a good question. For an employee that has an office where they actually work, they're not allowed a home office at their home because they already have an office that's available to them. So
well, that's not fair.
right. We're going to have to lobby against
yeah.
that one.
All right. Here's an email from David and Sharon. How can I get my employer to withhold less taxes from my paycheck? I get a refund every year. I would rather not get a refund or owe a little to the IRS at the end of the year.
Correct. That's dependent on the withholding form that you can file every year. Generally, most people don't file an updated one because they're okay with what withholding is being taken out. But you can change that every year, and actually during the year you can change that as well. You just need to see the payroll department and say, please give me the form. I'd like to change my withholding. And they can advise you, if you say I want $100 less of federal tax, how do I fill this out? And the payroll department will be able to help you with that.
Next we go to Peter in Waukesha. Hello, Peter.
Hello. I have a question, and well, actually two now that I just heard you on the radio. One is that a long time ago, almost 10 years ago, I did not file taxes like for 2 or 3 years. And the tax office notified me that I could still file for the taxes, but it would not give me any refund. And if I did that, then also that would also, I'm wondering, it would increase my Social Security. That's the first question.
Whether it would increase your Social Security, Peter?
Yeah, because the jobs, I, you know, the amount of years I worked, they base that on.
In terms of your Social Security, if the your history is an employee as a W-2, the Social Security Administration, whether you file a tax return or not, has a record of your wages and will base your Social Security on that. So there's nothing you have to give them to get additional Social Security. If you're self-employed over those years, yes, it will impact your Social Security benefits because they're not aware of that self-employment income until you actually file a tax return. In terms of the delinquent tax returns, you're always liable for a tax return when it's not filed. And what has happened with these older returns is they have assessed taxes and nothing has been done on your side. And so what happens is after, I believe it's 3 or 4 years, you can still file the return. But if you have a refund coming, it's heads they win, tails you lose, and they keep your refund. And that's a penalty for not filing on time and just disregarding all the correspondence you've gotten about those old returns. If you owe money, you actually still owe it, and they're going to charge you a significant amount of penalties for late filing, for underpayment, and interest.
Well, apparently I don't know anything because they haven't sent anything anymore.
Well, we'll hope that's the case.
All right, well, good luck, Peter. So even if you are going to get a refund, you can get in trouble for not filing.
If you wait too long, mm-hmm. The trouble is that you won't get that refund.
All right, so you're not going to be fined or anything like that.
Right, okay. They're just going to keep it.
All right, good luck, Peter. Jeff in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Jeff. What's your tax question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is about Social Security disability. Last year when I had my taxes prepared, it was with a different preparer. I owed nothing on that, the money that I had made from Social Security, but now this year it came to roughly $500 of that income. Was there a change in the tax code?
The taxability of the Social Security depends on a couple factors. One, how much did you receive? And two, how much income did you have outside of the Social Security? So if your income increased outside of the benefits that you received, the taxability of those Social Security benefits increases as your non-Social Security income increases. So it is possible that a tax liability of $500 occurred this year rather than last year.
Yeah, that makes sense. There was additional income.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. We have less than 10 minutes with Mark Babel. If you have a question for him, as we have this special edition of On Your Money on last minute tax advice, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to onyourmoney@wpr.org. Larry in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Larry.
Hello. We moved here a few years ago and had a CPA do our taxes last year, and he didn't ask about the Wisconsin, wanting to know about internet and mail order taxes. Was that in effect in 2010?
Yes. State of Wisconsin is looking for people to be honest, and if they have purchased items on the internet and paid no sales tax and live in the state of Wisconsin, they allow you to report how many dollars of those purchases you made and give you the opportunity to pay that sales tax on your income tax return when you file it.
So the CPA that we used didn't acknowledge that, and unfortunately had some sort of disclaimer that he's not going to stand with us if there's an audit, so there's a potential that we could be.
Yeah, the tax, though, is going to be 5.5% of whatever you purchased. And generally, qualified tax preparers, if they make a mistake, they'll help you with the representation when something occurs that you believe is their fault.
Okay. Yeah, because I do it myself. And like I said, with the moving and all that, it was too complex. One other question. You said about the medical expense. I'm retired. My wife, has a United Healthcare, and so that could be deductible.
It is on your Schedule A of your federal return, and now with the new tax law in the state of Wisconsin, there's a place for that deduction on the Wisconsin return as well.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for the call, Larry. Is there anything that we could do to decrease our chances for an audit?
What the IRS and the Wisconsin Department of Revenue look at in terms of their techniques is percentages related to total income. So, for example, on your federal return, if you have $10,000 of charitable contributions and you make 30,
they're not gonna believe that.
That probably falls outside of what is the norm for somebody making that kind of money. So that would increase mm-hmm. your chances for audits. There is an audit preference for the IRS to go after people that make more money because this is a cost benefit for them to do an audit. They're looking to get money for their time and effort. So they're looking at, one, large returns with large dollars, and two, they're looking at situations where the ratios for the normal population aren't falling into place for your particular return.
Is the Wisconsin Department of Revenue going to go after a Wisconsin resident who claims zero internet purchases for sales tax?
No, not at this point. It's a situation where it's a pay-as-you-go, it's an honesty system, and they're looking at saying, okay, did you make these? And if you do get audited, they're certainly going to ask you that question again. It's a very difficult thing to audit and try to come up with that number without you giving it to them.
Right. So, yeah, Larry, if it is the honesty system. If we didn't claim it on the income tax, though, can we just show up at the Wisconsin Department of Revenue and say, here's some money for you? Or?
Probably what you'd do is amend that return and say, there's a special line on the return to claim it, and you would just file it and pay them their money there. You wouldn't just show up and say, I'm an honest person and I missed out on $100 and here you go.
Yeah, or you just shop from Wisconsin-based catalog companies like Land's End, right?
There you go.
All right, John in Hayward is next. Hello, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have stock options provided by a former Minnesota employer while living in Minnesota. I now live in Wisconsin, and my question is, is there any way to deal with the income as I exercise those options through my Wisconsin return rather than having to file a Minnesota return each year just for that purpose?
That's a good question, John. It has to do a couple things with the type of option. Some options are actually reported on your W-2. And if that's the case, it'll come through on a W-2. And if you're no longer working for them and actually physically present in Minnesota, it will probably say Wisconsin wages on it. So you would file just in Wisconsin. If these are options and you physically reside in Wisconsin and they fall outside of the W-2 arena, you're going to file and claim that income and those sales on your Wisconsin return, and it's my understanding you wouldn't file in Minnesota.
Thank you, John. Syed in Fond du Lac. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a few quick questions. One is, I was doing my corporation tax return, and there was a message for the state in the income tax for the corporation. I have to file electronically. Is it correct?
The Wisconsin Department of Revenue has sent out notices to different businesses if they are required to file electronically, and if you do receive one of those, you're required to file electronically. There may be a lenience or a waiver that you can exercise, and you would look at that notice, and they'll either have a number for you to call or some type of correspondence you send to them saying, you know, I don't have a computer system. I qualify for the waiver. Please accept this.
And I'm sorry, Syed, we don't have time for your other questions because we're out of it. But in our final minute, Mark Babel, since we have a minute, what's your last-minute tax tip?
My last-minute tax tip is to make sure that you file this extension by next Tuesday if you're not going to get it in. This will eliminate the penalties for filing late, which are significant. If you can't pay what is owed or you don't know what is owed, at least the extension will be filed. You'll have till October, And when you do file it, the IRS and the Wisconsin Department of Revenue will tell you what interest you owe. They'll call it a penalty, but it won't be near as significant as if you didn't file that extension. And the number on that form is a 4868. When you file that form, it takes care of extending your federal and your Wisconsin tax return.
Thank you for being with us, especially during such a busy time.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Mark Babel, principal at SVA Certified Public Accountants in Madison. And thank you for listening. Kevin McKinley will be back with us next week for another edition of On Your Money. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.